Welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
All right, well, you ready to jump into what the Bible says about relationships tonight? Fantastic. I'm excited for it. We're not just looking for opinions. We're looking for what the Bible says about it, and we're going to dive in. You know what I've realized as I prepared for this? The Bible says a lot about relationships. And I'm like, man, we could just start at the beginning and read all the way through. It's going to take us 72 hours, but it'll be gold. It is all about relationships. It's about relationship with God. It's about relationship with each other. It's about romantic relationships, which I hope some of the questions that are coming at Ali and Toops tonight are about that kind of stuff as well. It's about sibling relationships. It's about parents with kids, about kids with parents. It's about relationships with friends, relationships with other cultures, relationships with enemies, relationships. It's just stacked from front to back with relationships. It's pretty much what the Bible is all about. And I thought, that's great news. Because when you think about it, if you think about your life is also basically a collection of relationships. Relationships are what we are all about. You know, relationships are with our families, relationships with our friends, relationships with those that we're interested in or we have a romance towards, relationships with people in our workplace, relationships, parents with their kids, kids with their parents. Our whole life is all about relationships. So it's fitting that God would give us a book that is not just, you know, statistics and facts and figures, but it's actually a picture of relationships at work through which he can show us how to make the most of our relationships. And, you know, my prayer is that today this book about relationships will become something for you and impact your world of relationships in such a profound way. And so I want to encourage you with that. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with two scriptures, then we're going to pray and jump into it. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me all the way back to the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. We're going to read verse 26 to 27, and this is what it says. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, the wild animals, and over air, all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." My next verse is from Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. And it is the beginning of the Ten Commandments. And it says this, "You shall have no other gods before me." And so tonight, what the Bible says about relationships, that's the title of my message. Let's pray. God, we just welcome you here. We invite you, God, just to speak plainly to us, God, just to reveal those areas of our heart, God, in which you want to be Lord. And we just come to you, Jesus, and we just ask that you would help us to see your plans, your purposes for each of our lives, God. Lord, let us experience first and foremost the living relationship with God that you've destined us to have, and let it overflow into the rest of our relationships. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Now, one thing you got to realize about people is that we were not created for isolation. We were not. And we recently experienced that, but I got to be honest, we have it pretty good in our area. You know, it's not hard to sort of be separated from the rest of the world when you've got the beach and, you know, you can surf and you can go for walks along the Esplanade and whatnot. But the kind of isolation that we are not created for is separation from people and absence of relationships. Do you know that the United Nations Mandela rules, so these are some of those rules that sort of govern what would be agreed upon as sort of standard ways of living or things that we should not impose upon others. It says the United Nations Mandela rules, they actually prohibit solitary confinement of prisoners for 22 hours or more a day without meaningful human contact. And they also prohibit prolonged solitary confinement of more than 15 consecutive days. So according to this, these rules, breaking these parameters is defined as torture. So humans, if they are left for more than 22 hours a day without meaningful human contact, or if they are left on their own, isolated from other people for more than 15 days, it's a form of torture. It starts to just grate against the way we were created. something starts to happen. There's a breakdown inside the soul of a person when they are isolated from meaningful relationships. You know, we are relational beings. And we're relational beings because we are made in the image of God. And God, by His nature, is relational. One of the most profound and amazing things in our Christian faith is our understanding of God being triune. We have one God, but we have three persons. This discussion around how this works has been ongoing for thousands of years, literally since Jesus came and, you know, they recognized Him as God. The Holy Spirit came and they recognized the Holy Spirit as God. But they're like, we are a monotheistic religion who believes in one God. What is going on here? And this discussion and this understanding about God, who is three but is one, is this discussion that is at the very core of everything Christians believe. And at the core of the God we serve, the God that we believe created us, we see a relational God. We see God who is in perfect relationship apart from creation within Himself. The Bible sort of reveals God one story after another. And through this story, this triune God is revealed, and we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working together in creation, in all of history, and then through the Spirit coming and empowering us to be a part of this God plan, we see God at work. God, by His nature, is relational. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, existing in eternal, harmonious unity as one God. This is the God that we serve. And if you want to know more about that, talk to Pastor Karen, who's leading Horizon Leadership College. And we've got some amazing opportunities to talk more a little bit about the Trinity. But tonight, what I want to do is I want to start there, because before we can move into the relationships within our lives, we first have to recognize the God that created us. If we're made in His image and He's relational, how does that have an impact on us today? At our core, we are all relational. It's from this place that we experience our deepest joys. It's from this place of being relational that we experience life in its most precious and powerful moments. And it's also in this place that we are most vulnerable to wounds. We are most vulnerable to pain. We experience some of the difficult things that humans can experience. You know, as a pastor for many years now, over all this time and all the conversations I've had and all the people I've sat with and talked to and prayed with and all the people I've met, you know, what I've really learned is that there is no burden that a person carries like a relationship issue. A breakdown in a relationship, whether that be with a parent, whether that be with a loved one, whether that be with a sibling, whether that be with a partner or a spouse, the pain that comes with relational breakdown is like a weight on the human soul. It is something that people struggle to move forward from. It is difficult. And, you know, betrayal, abandonment, loss, disappointment, loneliness, unforgiveness, you know, these are the things that seem to weigh heavier on the human heart than all other things combined. You can endure a lot when you have strong relationships, but regardless of your circumstance, no matter how much money you have, no matter what your health is like, when there is broken relationship, it actually is so difficult to live with. You know, if tonight, as I'm talking about relational wounds, you are feeling your own heart start to, you know, identify with that. There are things that have happened in your life. There are relationships that should have been there that weren't. There are regrets that you have relationally that are burdening you, and you're sensing, you know, an understanding of what I'm talking about here. You've got to realize that sense doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. In fact, the fact that you feel that, the fact that you are just heartbroken when relationships are out of order is actually a sign that you are not broken, that you were created with this capacity for relationship that you can sense is important, that you value so much that you are disappointed by the challenges that you face. And the hope tonight, my hope, is that the one who is perfect relationship, God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, who exist in perfect relationship, an example for us, perfect relationship, that God himself would touch your life and the power of the perfect one, the one who is perfectly relational, would begin to just permeate through your life and begin a healing process. In fact, tonight, you know, I prepared a bunch of stuff, and even as I was standing there in worship, I am like, God wants to move in individual hearts. It's not just about learning tonight. It's actually about an encounter. It's actually about the presence of God. It's actually about being in a place where God can minister to you. And so we're not going to take too long before we return to worship and we open up these altars and we create a space for God to move, for God to speak to you, and for God to set people free, and for God to begin a healing process. Because right now, you living in brokenness is not God's will for you. It's not God's future for you. And simply by faith, coming to God, you're going to experience the beginning of a renewal in this area of your life. Do you know, over the years, there's been various roles I've had and stages in my life where people have asked me for advice on relationships. I remember when I was a youth leader, ran a life group of like year eight boys. I mean, I had year eight boys, year six boys, I had a bunch of life groups, but you know, in that phase, you're sort of like, you know, the boys are trying to figure out how to impress the girls that they like. That's that phase of leading. And I'm just like, well, first of all, deodorant is number one on my list, right? So you gotta smell nice, brother. Yeah, that's right. Thank me later, right? So I remember in all these different phases and being a youth pastor, young adults pastor, and you know, you start to talk to people about dating relationships and you know, how do people do the single season well? How do you make that season just one of those seasons that you just, God shapes you and helps you to become who you're called to be, and other people moving into that dating phase, marriage phase. I've been blessed to be a part of a lot of marriages and weddings, and how awesome was it? Give it up for Ethan and Emma. Give up these guys. We're excited for you. This new phase of your journey. You've had this friendship for years and it goes to this new space. There's all these new spaces you get asked for advice, and you know, sometimes you do your best to share, you take the wisdom that you've learned through over the years and different experiences. I remember being a youth pastor though, and this one parent's like, Tim, my child won't listen to me. What do I do? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not a parent. Like, talk to a parent whose kids listen to them, right? And point them in that direction. And I got really good and still am, to be honest. Like, that's my main game. You know, I just point people to the people that can really help them. And through all of this, I've discovered that there's a lot of people looking for advice when it comes to relationships. And I think the reason people are looking for advice is because everyone wants the best in their relationships. I'm yet to meet someone that is like wanting to be heartbroken. I've met people who are expecting to be heartbroken because of the disappointments they've had in life, but I've never met someone who wants to be heartbroken. That is not within us. We want this one to be different. We want, that to be the solution to my need. We start to desire relationships as they could be. There's an inkling that there's more. When we've experienced brokenness, when we've walked in a relationship that has disappointed us, or there's been a betrayal or a brokenness, maybe in a family situation or something like that, there is this brokenness that you know isn't right. And that is all part of God, your God shape, where he's teaching you who you are, and you realize these things aren't it. You know, relationally, people sense a problem and a perceived need, I should say. They sense this perceived need, and then they sense a perceived solution. Now, I've worn this shirt with buttons, not just because I'm like double shirting it, but maybe I will from now on. Me and Alec Bennett, right on, I like it. But because it's almost like people have got this problem and then they have a perceived solution. So they're like, hey, I've got this problem, I'm lonely, I know what I need a relationship or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And so they seek that relationship and they're like, okay, got that now, but it's not quite right. Things are still not quite happening as I think they should be. Or, you know what? If I'm in that friendship group, then all of a sudden I'm gonna be, you know, I'm gonna feel better about my life. If I'm in that group at school, that group at uni, or if I'm fitting in with those people, all of a sudden I'll feel satisfied in my life. And so you seek to fit in, and you know, you're like, oh man, I'm just not quite where I should be. Or you think, you know what? I just don't feel complete. You know what will make me feel complete? A spouse. Once I get married and I find the one, then all of a sudden, bang, that one. Man, we are going to find ourselves in good place. Maybe a baby will save our marriage. Let's try that. That's what we've been missing. And all these people, because of a desire for correct or good relationships, a sense of something more, start making solutions out of things that were never meant to be the solution in the first place. And they start to find themselves in these solutions, but still lacking what it is that they most need. You know, I've discovered that relationally, if you need somebody, it actually puts unfair pressure on them to be something that they were never created to be. You know, we were created to first be in relationship with God and to experience His love, and for that love to be the source of all our other relationships. Now, I want to read this chunk of scripture. We're doing what the Bible says about. I'm just, man, this is an illustration and a half. How do you get out of the mess you're in? You know what I'm saying? Let's read the word. Oh, timing. Look at that. I want to read 1 John 4, verse 7 to 21. And there were whole chapters. Poor Jack up there has been translating, putting a whole chapter that I gave him last minute that I probably won't even read, because I've just got, there's so much in the Bible that talks about this stuff, right? So what I want to do is I want to read one of them right now in 1 John 4, 7 to 21. And it says this. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He's given us His Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." Now, I want you to just note in these few verses, there is some deep Trinitarian theology going on there. We know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us His Spirit. We know we're in God because He's given us His Spirit, and we know that God has sent His Son, that when we believe in Him, that we are in God. Goes on to say, "God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. We love because He first loved us. We love because He first loved us. It begins with the love of God. Not your love for God, but God's love for you. This single revelation is the key to all of your relational problems. We overcomplicate this and we try and get crafty and we seek all of these strategies to try and solve our problems quickly in the way that we think best. But it all begins with us first having an experience of the love of God. When we receive God's love, we are filled to the point where we have so much of God's love in us that it begins to overflow in our lives. All of a sudden, we don't need to take love from a person. We are free to give love. Many people have destroyed things that were meant to bless them by expecting them to be God. God wants you to have a great friendship. But if you expect that friendship to be your God, you will destroy that friendship, because you are putting a pressure on it that it was never created to handle. And we do this all the time. We do it with our relationships, with our possessions. We think, if I have this, if I have that, maybe when I'm married, then I'm going to be happy. And we put this pressure on our spouse to be God, to be the one who completes me. And all of a sudden, we put an unfair expectation on our spouse that actually destroys the very thing that God wanted to bless us with. Exodus 20 verse 3 says, "You shall have no other gods before me." What we first need to do if we want to experience the fullness of relationship is get that first button right. The longer it takes, the more you'll remember it. I'm going to need help here in a second. So all those gym workouts, my neck is massive. I think you get the point. I honestly don't know if I can do this. Can we start a slow clap or something? Wow. Milani, I'm just kidding. This button, first button. Let's pretend this button doesn't exist. There you go. You get the first button right. Oh man, 101 for future preachers. Yeah, how to make illustrations work. Try them before you get on the platform. But God actually says, you've got to make this relationship, get this back in order. You see, we've fallen out of relationship with God, who is relationship, the one who we are built after, the one who we are created in the image of, the one who is relationship. And we find ourselves out of relationship with Him, trying to make sense of all the other relationships. And God says it all starts by coming back to me. We love because first God loved us. And you know, tonight, I honestly believe that God actually wants to pour out His love. In fact, I'm going to get the band to come back up right now. We're not going to take too much longer because I just have this sense that what you're looking for isn't up here, but it's the presence of the love of God in your life. It is the overwhelming sense of your Father's love towards you. It is that sense of, man, God loves me so much that He has graced me with His presence that I can feel His love. Tonight, I honestly believe if you are walking in brokenness, if there are relationships and there is weight that you are carrying, God wants to minister to you. He wants to meet you where you're at, and all He's asking for you is to come to Him. You know, this is a profound story, one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible, in John chapter 4. And it's the story of this woman who is fetching water from a well. It's the middle of the day. The rest of the community has come out to get water in the morning. They've gone back, but then she comes out middle of the day when there's no one around. She's been driven into isolation. She's been separated from her community. She's been shamed. She's been looked down upon. It's easier to not be around people than to be around people and be so broken. And she comes out to this well, and sitting on that well is Jesus Himself. Now you got to realize this, right? Before Jesus went to this well, He says to His disciples, "Hey, we're going to go back to where we need to get to, but I've got to go through Samaria." Now, technically, you don't have to go through Samaria. In fact, the Jews of that day had a special route that avoided Samaria. That was the route that everyone would normally go if you were Jewish, but Jesus says, "No, I've got to go through Samaria." And interestingly, the only thing Jesus does while in Samaria is meet this woman and minister to the people that she brings to Him. And then He continues on His journey. So here's Jesus, aware that there is a woman who is broken, but is searching for the truth, searching for the answer to what she's tried to solve in so many other ways. She is searching, and God says, "I'm coming." And He goes out of His way to be present when this woman arrives. She arrives, she starts getting water, He strikes up a convo. He's like, "Excuse me, would you perhaps give me a drink?" Now you gotta realize, like for us, this is one of those things we don't understand because of the culture where it's like, oh yeah, you buy a drink from the vending machine. This was unheard of. And her response reveals it. She's like, "Why are you, a Jewish man, like a Jewish rabbi, talking to me a Samaritan woman. There are levels in that society between him and her. She's like, no way. According to the law, he would be ceremonially unclean by drinking out of a vessel that was given to him by this Samaritan. And he says, give me a drink. And she's like, why this kindness? Why are you, someone with such stature, showing kindness to me? And she actually leans into this conversation. They start talking. And he says this amazing thing. He says to her, he says, if you knew who it was that was asking for water, you would actually ask him for water and he would give you living water that would well up within you and overflow to eternal life. You would never be thirsty again. And she's still thinking about, you know, water. And she's like, how do I get this water? And then she goes on this discussion. He has this discussion with her about her relationships. And I remember the first time I read this, I was like, whoa, Jesus, maybe I need to educate you on people skills. Like, I don't know much, but I'm telling you, this is not really the way that you go about talking to someone about their past. He's like, hey, go get your husband. She's like, I don't have a husband. And he looks at her and he says, it's true. Fact is, you have had 5 husbands. And you're with a man right now, and he's not your husband. Now, in the culture of the day, that is so wildly looked down upon in that society. And I always thought, like, wouldn't her response be to slap him? You know what I mean? First time I read that, I'm like, ooh, what's she gonna do? But the way she responds actually reveals something. She says, sir. She responds with this respectful tone. She says, sir, I can tell you're a prophet. And then she asks a spiritual question. And she asks him about worship. And he has the longest discourse in the entire New Testament about worship with anyone that we have record of. And it is this Samaritan woman who had 5 husbands and was with someone who's not a husband. And basically, he has this conversation and it ends with him saying, hey, she's like, man, we've heard about this Messiah. He's going to be the one that just, we've heard that when the Messiah comes, everything will make sense. When I can meet the Messiah, everything will make sense. That's what I've heard. And she's holding on to hope. I know there's a better way. I know what I've experienced isn't it. I know that there's more to life than I've experienced. And I just know if I can just hold on and meet the Messiah when he comes, that's when the answers are going to come. And literally the only time he reveals who he is in scripture before Passion Week is to this Samaritan woman. And he says, I, the one you are speaking to, I am he. And she, Bible says, she literally leaves her water pot and she runs into the city. And she starts going door to door. She starts like Craig and Kaylin, man. She's like banging on doors, being like, I got to tell you about something. I got to tell you about somebody. And this woman who was isolated through shame and through social sort of like, you know, being a social outcast, all of a sudden starts to run through the streets. And the Bible tells us that she starts to say this. She starts to say, come see the man who told me everything I ever did. And her brokenness becomes her testimony. Her brokenness becomes her witness. The thing that she was ashamed about because of the healing experience of God's presence in her life all of a sudden became something instead of hiding away from or being isolated by, all of a sudden she had been elevated above it, and that became something that allowed her to share God's love. Because of the love I have received, I now give love. We love because he first loved us. And the Bible says that they came in their droves. The whole city came out. She was that compelling. She was that compelling. She had been so changed by this encounter. She was that compelling. Come, come. And they came. And then for 2 days, the Bible says, he was ministering in that city. Many people came to faith. And what they said to her was this. They said, we now believe, but no longer just because of what you said, but because we have experienced him ourselves and we believe that he is the Savior of the world. A city was saved. A revival was started because of one broken woman who had an encounter with the living God. The first button, all of a sudden, bang, made sense. And from the love of God, from relationship with the Father, from the relationship that we were created to have, overflowing from that relationship into the relationships around her. And tonight, I don't know your story. I don't know the mistakes you've made. I don't know the life you've lived. I don't know the brokenness and the hurt that you carry. But what I do know is that we serve a God who wants to meet with you. And when you meet your God, what you will experience is love, not condemnation. You'll experience His grace and His mercy and His kindness, not His anger. And you will experience a God who fills you up so much that the love of the Father, the love of God that is within you, all of a sudden starts to bubble over. And that is the answer you've been looking for in all the other relationships of your life. Before we move into ministry, I just want you to close your eyes for a second, because I just have a real sense that there are people in this room, you've never heard the message of Jesus like this. You might have heard it religiously, you might have heard it systematically explained to you, but you have never seen, as we're reading this story of an encounter, the way that God Himself can touch a human heart and change them forever. And tonight, if you're in this room, you are God's child. You are God's son. You are God's daughter. And there are so many other stories I wish I had time to tell you tonight about how God expresses His love through Scripture to people just like you who say, all right, God, I'm not perfect. I don't have everything together. I've tried this relationship, this pathway, that pathway, this career, that career. None of it has ultimately achieved what I was hoping for it to achieve. But tonight, by faith, I am going to say yes to you. I'm going to open up my heart, and I'm going to, if you are who you say you are, then I am going to open up my heart and ask you to come in. And like this woman, I honestly believe that tonight, simply by saying yes to God, who has gone out of His way to become man, to live a life that you and I couldn't live, to give up His life so that you can experience life, and who lives forevermore so that you can live with Him forevermore, the same way that that woman encountered Him, you can encounter Him tonight. So with every eye closed right now, here's what I want to do. If you are ready to open up your heart to Jesus, it's as simple as believing and praying. And you pray to God, He will hear it. Right now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. And you may have never, ever prayed before, and that is totally fine. It's not your ability to pray that qualifies you. It is your heart. It is your faith. It is your crying out to God. Whatever words you use are sufficient. Would you open up your heart to God to help you? I'm going to give you some words. And church, can we all pray so that no one is alone in this moment? But if you need to pray and make your peace with God, you need to come back to your Heavenly Father. You need to open up your heart like this woman did and receive Jesus. Then I want you to pray this prayer to Him. With eyes closed right now, let's repeat this prayer. Dear Jesus, I know that You love me and that You created me to be in relationship with You. And so tonight, I come before You and I humbly give You my life. I receive You as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with Your love. Forgive my sin and give me everlasting life as I walk every day with You. From this day forward, would You walk with me and would You talk to me? And would You live in me, in Jesus' wonderful name? Amen. Amen. Just while your eyes are closed, if your heart's racing right now, if when you prayed those words, they meant something to you and you know that you've taken a step of faith in your heart, I want to pray for you. This is the beginning of the most exciting journey of your entire life. And your step of faith was the first step. And I want to pray for this week for you to experience the power and the presence and the reality of God in your world. That you would experience God like you've never known Him before, and that you would be protected, that you would be able to walk with God this week and experience Him in His fullness. And I just want to know who it is tonight that has crossed that line of faith so I can pray for you, so I can put my faith behind yours and say, come on, let's go, God. So right now, while eyes are still closed, if that was you and you crossed the line of faith in your heart and you're opening up your life to God tonight, would you just boldly give us a wave? Just chuck your hand up and say, tonight, I prayed that prayer. It meant something to me. It meant something to me. It was a line of faith that I crossed. Yeah, man, powerful decision. Well done. Who else? And you know that that was a prayer of faith. Maybe it's your first time in a church and you're like, I don't even know what I'm doing here, but your heart is racing. I remember it when I was 13 years old and I, on a night like this, just put my hand up and said, you know what, God, I want you in my life. It was the beginning of the most exciting journey. Just before I wrap up, if that's you, just give us a wave. I want to include you in this prayer. Well, Jesus, we just thank you so much for those people who have responded to you tonight. Lord, I just thank you right now. They may not even understand what has begun, but God, over the days and months and years ahead, God, as you just continue to pour your love into them, God, I just pray that they would experience more and more of the life that you have promised them. Jesus, you said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Where they've experienced that, it has ended. You said, Jesus, but I have come that they may have life and life to the full. And I declare that and I prophesy it and I speak it over those people who responded in their heart to you, who stepped out in faith tonight, that they would experience life and life to the full. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, let's give it up for those people who responded.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.